seizing the kingdom. And yes, I'm getting a psst, psst. You're being trying to be very subtle. Yes. Would the children like to go out now for their special time with Natasha and helpers? Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Jessica, for helping out there. You have an awesome time in the Lord, guys. Bless you. Okay, right. Over the past few weeks, the Lord has got us and is moving us and growing us and extending us. And there's been a verse that's really stuck out in my mind that I really wanted to, the Lord really drew me to again this week that I'm wanting to unpack for us about the kingdom and who we are in that. I guess it was great to hear that Neil had such a good week this week. I'm so pleased about that. But I guess I wanted to ask too, sometimes we don't always have that belief. So that was really great that you brought that into the light. Because sometimes we can feel not on cloud nine. And sometimes we can feel like God isn't moving or he's just taking too long in doing what we think he's going to do. What happens when you go through that? Do you feel like you start to lose heart? Do you think that actually God doesn't really want to do anything in my situation? And you become despondent, that he's not really listening to you. And I was reminded of the time between the Old Testament, when it finished, and the New Testament. And they call it the intertestamental period. Makes sense, doesn't it? The time between when the last prophet in the Old Testament, Malachi, spoke to when John the Baptist started speaking in the New Testament. And that was 400 years, a really long gap. So with the prophets, they were the guys that the people of Israel looked to because they had the word from the Lord. They had the word from God. God was speaking in their midst. So for 400 years, there was silence. And it's actually called also the 400 years of silence. 400 years. Sometimes we think we wait for a long time for God to come through for us. Wow. 400 years of waiting. Imagine the questions you'd be answering. God, where are you? Are you going to rescue us? Do you really love me? Are you ever going to speak again? 400 years, generations would come and go through that time. You can imagine the offspring wondering, well, God hasn't spoken to my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my mother, my father. Why would he speak now? And what happens when you're left waiting too long? What if someone says, oh, I'm going to come and pick you up tomorrow at 12? 12 comes and goes, 5 past, 1:30, 1 o'clock. Do you start making your own plans by that point? Yeah. Same thing with, in our own walk with the Lord. When we're waiting for too long, when we think God's already spoken and said, yeah, this is going to happen, but it seems to take a long time, you start making your own way of how you think God should be working. Has anyone ever done that? Yes. Or you just lose your expectation that God's going to turn up. It's not a very good TV series. It's a bit comical. But the main character would often say, no expectations, no disappointments. And sometimes when we're waiting a long time for God, we can start to, our faith just goes dwindling down. So in those silent years for the Israelites, there was a lot of change for them. I mean, obviously they had this current voice from the Lord and then silence. And in that time, they were overthrown by the Greek Empire, Alexander the Great. Then he died, then the Roman Empire came. So within that 400 years, there was a great transition culturally. That became a mishmash and a blend of a lot of ungodly stuff going on. They were ruled and occupied and oppressed, and all the cultures were mixed in together. They became despondent with very low hope. All they had was clinging on to a very faint hope for God's promised Messiah that had been spoken of in 400 years before. But I guess the great thing for us, it's not like, yes, I know, the great thing for us, the good news for us is that we're not these people, because we're not in the same place. We're not in the same place as them at all. We are in a different place because Jesus Christ has come. Because 400 years of silence was broken by the greatest story ever told, and we are part of that story. We went from silence to salvation and new life. And you might say, well, that's really great, but you know, sometimes I just don't feel that God is working that powerfully or in the way that, you know, the Bible talks about. At Marion Vineyard, we've been really encouraged recently by prophetic words that have been repeated and all about fruitfulness, that our faithfulness in walking with the Lord has led us into a new season of fruitfulness. And the time is now that we're actually in that time. And we've certainly seen some inbreaking of that continually and more recently too when Kirk was here, and that was a great time. But we expect more. So what did Jesus say at this point when John the Baptist had arrived? Because he had ushered in the new kingdom to say that the king has arrived. Jesus says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. In prior verses, Jesus was talking to the crowd about how great John the Baptizer, what a great man he is, and how he was greatly used by God as the forerunner for him to come. And then he says, after talking about John the Baptist, he starts talking about the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. When you look into this verse and when you look into scholars who write about it, there can be different ways of looking at it. So I had a look at it too. When he uses that word forcefully, the Greek word actually means to violently explode or to blow out. Now, some versions say that the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence, suffers violence, and violent men take hold of it, giving the impression that the kingdom of God is under fierce attack, and it's being attacked and it's suffering. Well, we do have a spiritual enemy, and I can understand how they might get to that. But when you actually look at this word, biazo, and go to the root of that word, the root of biazo is bios, which is life. From that word, we get the word biology, the study of living things. So I tend to go with the other interpretation, which says that when it's saying that the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, it's saying that the kingdom is alive and it's thriving and is exploding out with life. Interestingly, the same word that's used for the kingdom, exploding with life, is also used for the people who are taking hold of it. They're exploding with life. They're not robbing, but they're harvesting what is theirs to take. It's theirs for the taking. So Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is breaking out and exploding with life like dynamite. And people who are the same are taking hold of it. People who are the same are taking hold of it. Wow. Jesus said that everything has changed since John the Baptist. Before John the Baptist came, the law and the prophets testified about the coming of the kingdom. But after John, the kingdom of heaven began forcefully advancing. Jesus has arrived. The kingdom is near. The kingdom of heaven is here among you. That kingdom is here among us. Awesome stuff. Awesome. And I've got down here something even more awesome. Okay. There's something even more awesome. Now, Jesus has got dynamite in his DNA. Really interesting. If you go back to in Genesis 38:27, there's a story about Tamar giving birth to twins. And as the twins are being born, one baby sticks its hand out as I'm first. And so the midwife puts a red thread around the wrist. Anyway, that wrist disappears. And then the second twin bursts forth. Oh, that poor mother. Explodes out of the womb. One could actually interpret it. Past that first twin. And so when he comes out, they call him Perez. Whoops, yes, we do have... I'll get to the winner. Perez, which is taken from the Hebrew peretz, meaning to explode, just like the kingdom in the New Testament, like dynamite. So Perez's father was Judah, and Perez became the head of the clan of Judah and the ancestor of David and ultimately Christ. So you can look in Matthew 1, the genealogy of Jesus, and Perez is right in there. Wow, so there's dynamite in Jesus' DNA. And we've been grafted into the stump of Jesse of the tribe of Judah. And we have dynamite in our DNA too. Amen. Awesome. Whoa, we're people of passion. That's what we're made for. That's what we're made for. Where is our passion? Yes, it's there. It's there. We do have it. You know, Jesus was not the pussycat of Judah, but the lion of Judah. So it's in Jesus' nature and ours to also be passionate and explosive for the things of the kingdom. That is who we are. Doesn't matter if you get bitten by a dog or scratched by a cat. We are made for the kingdom. We can still be exploding with joy. Great. That was great at communion. You know, we're a celebratory people. This is what we've been brought into. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. All bruised by a car. Absolutely. We just bounce right back up, don't we, Irene? Yes. So let's think about this passion. I guess the opposite would be passivity. So Jesus is saying that everything the law and the prophets foretold is now coming to pass. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing and everyone's getting in on it. Those who are forceful, full of life. But he's not talking about passive people, obviously, with that. He's not talking about passive people just waiting on God to be spoon-fed. He's talking about active men and women energetically grabbing the amazing goodness of God that is suddenly available. And Jesus saw that all the time. You know, when we read about him ministering to the people, you know, people fought their way through the crowds to get him. The woman with the issue of blood, You know, she fought just to get the hem of his garment. She was passionately going after Jesus. And people interrupted him day and night to get what he had. He never condemned them. He always gave those people what they were looking for. Jesus is pointing out that now is not the time to sit back and wait. You know, the wait is over. The silence has ended. The kingdom is here. And he says, come and get it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Unfortunately, you know, we can get overwhelmed with our fears. And we stay in that place of bondage, not really satisfied, but sometimes a bit unable to move because of all sorts of things that have happened in our life. We feel immobilized and we're waiting and hoping that God might maybe rescue us. But, you know, it wasn't really those sorts of people that stayed back in a corner waiting that God got or received what Jesus had. It was those that went after him, that earnestly went after him. And Jesus is always inviting, you know, as we read through the Gospels. He's always inviting. He's saying, come to me. Come to me to receive. You know, Matthew 11, come to me to receive rest for your souls. Come and let me show you what life is really like. John 5:39, you know, he says to those who love the scriptures, he says, you know, you think that by them you're going to receive eternal life, but those scriptures speak about me. Come to me. Come to me. Always inviting people in. The character of hunger and thirst for righteousness pervades Jesus' speech and his desire for us to hunger and thirst for him. As true sons and daughters of God, we must be moving forward. But if this morning, if you are sitting here and you're feeling really devastated by this earthly life and what it's dished up for you and the pain and all the things that you've worked through and still are, the invitation is still there. Come to Jesus and keep coming. Keep coming to Jesus. Come and seize the life of God's kingdom. Come and seize the life of God's kingdom. But sometimes we wonder, well, how do we do that? You know, how much more do I pray? How? You know, it's all well and good for you to tell me to come and seize it and everything's going to be great. How do I do that? You know, I really am thankful for the Vineyard movement of churches that has come, that the Lord has brought forth through John Wimber a few decades ago. And the Vineyard family really centres on this whole idea of kingdom, on God's present, powerful and life giving kingdom, that God is a generous God. He's kind and he wants to pour out blessing. So we pray for healing and restoration of people's lives with the knowledge and the expectancy that God's kingdom is here. It is here. And God wants to bring his life in fullness to everyone. We believe that. That's why we pray. We believe what that verse says, don't we? That God's kingdom is exploding with life and we want to grab for it. And we want to be people that seize the kingdom and not wanting to be spoon-fed. So if we want to seize the kingdom, we really need to be people that need to learn how to be aware of the kingdom and learn how to see it and how to experience it. Otherwise, it just becomes words. We need to sort of, it's a part of life. It's not just words, it's experience, it's acknowledge of God working in our lives. A really lovely verse is in Romans 5:5. It says, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. It's very clear. We are people of the Spirit. God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So when you experience love, and you acknowledge, God, you love me, and you get a sense of peace, that is the Holy Spirit. It's recognizing how he moves in your life and acknowledging, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom that's come into my life. And to partner with that. I know when I'm just during the week, as I'm preparing this and I'm just saturating myself in God's word and getting so excited about God's wonderful kingdom, I can just sense this great, experience this great praise welling up. And I know, wow, that's the Spirit of God encouraging me, and, you know, every cell of my being is just celebrating the goodness of God. That's the kingdom come in my life. And I'm sure you experience that too. As we're in worship this morning, you might sense a warmth or even a heaviness sometimes that's on you, and that's the presence, the beautiful presence of God on you. And when you feel that or experience that, it's good to acknowledge, well, thank you, Lord, that you're with me. You're working in me. I know that you're with me. And when we're praying for others, we want to be able to see how the kingdom is breaking in to that person's life as well. So when you're praying for someone else, you know, we always say, keep your eyes open and keep in tune with what the Spirit is doing. You might, as you're praying for someone, really sense that God wants to do something. And it might come to you as an impression for them. Oh, gee, I just feel God's heart for you right now. I know when I was praying for someone a couple of weeks ago when Kirk was here, I had a real burning in my stomach, a fire in my belly. And so I could encourage the person I was praying for and saying, no, I haven't got an upset tummy, that I think God's wanting to reignite the passion that he has placed in you. And to really encourage through that. Or you might see a word, it might float through your mind, you need to grab that and pray into that. And step into, you know, it's not going to be passivity that helps you really advance and grow in the things of the kingdom. It's the forceful men and women of God. It's the ones exploding with life who don't want to miss the great stuff that God's doing. So, you know, you might be feeling timid, but it's okay. You might even make a mistake, and that's okay, because it's a part of growing. You know, we have been brought into a kingdom and into a life of the Spirit, and it's supernatural. And it's not automatic that we know how all this works, because we've been brought up in a world that doesn't talk about that stuff. So we need to help ourselves and help each other become more and more increasingly aware of how the Spirit is working in your life, in your own personal life, as you connect with other people, so that you can move into what God has got for them, because he's placed you right there at that moment for a purpose. So this morning I just wanted to play a video. It's about 10 minutes, and it's John Wimber. I'll do it. Okay. It's a video of John Wimber ministering, and it would be back in the 80s, so it's a bit of a blurred little video, but it's okay. John Wimber is the big guy who looks a bit like Father Christmas, all very cuddly. And he's teaching and demonstrating about words of knowledge. Now, you know, when we talk about things of the kingdom, he often says too that things are more caught than taught. So I always appreciate watching how someone ministers, because there's something in the way they can do stuff that you see and it registers in your own spirit. What becomes obvious is that he's not a guy who's a superstar on the stage. He's empowering others. In fact, he gets someone else to do the words of knowledge, and he's there encouraging. He's always giving it away. Like he says, everyone gets to play in the kingdom. He wants everyone to be equipped and doing stuff. He's certainly very laid back, and there's no hype. I know sometimes in services when the Spirit's moving, we've got the worship team up, we've got that whole atmosphere going, and then, you know, we see the Spirit break out. And there's nothing wrong with that, so I'm not rubbishing anything. But just there's just this beautiful, relaxed way about what you'll see in a moment. Because when there's no hype or building up, it's just all God. If anything's going to happen, it's God turning up, and that's what he wants to emphasise. And he's really encouraging people to engage with what the Holy Spirit's doing. And I'll leave some other comments for after. There's lots I could say, and there's lots we could learn and discuss about it. But I think the main thing I would like us to do is just to really catch the spirit of what's happening and how it's happening, and just to see what we receive from it.